Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I know on Mother's Day, what a special day that we have. And I know the two ladies in my life, my mother and my wife, as I watch my wife mother our children, are wonderful influences on me. I don't know where I'd be without either one of them. They're definitely blessings from above. What a day it is to honor them. If you do have your Bibles, we'll be back in 1 John. As I think of honoring mothers, I don't know if there's a better way or what a mother or a grandmother would want more for her children than to love Jesus Christ more than this world. I'll be honest, I'm about as good as with topic preaching as I am probably running Brother Jimmy's machinery. I'm just not very good at it. So I just praise the Lord for His providence and goodness that this message fell on this day, because I just firmly believe it. I know my mother would want nothing more for me and my sister than to know Jesus. I know my wife, who mothers our two children, and she wants no more for Reese and Riley than to know Jesus. So, what a day, what a day. Now, as we know, we'll kind of visit some last week, and thinking about this morning and Brother Jeremy teaching us, which was beautiful this morning, Sunday school. That small group studies are beautiful. But we do realize that in this unredeemed flesh, that the world's lust and desires are still, I mean, they tempt us. They lure us. It is active. It is something that we've got to actively, as Brother Jeremy said this morning, put to death every morning. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? The world and its lust and its desires are going to attack us again. We learned last week that babes in Christ are ignorant. Remember, that's not a bad word. There's a lot of sin. Brother Jeremy slapped me this morning. I complain all the time about the weather. And he told us very clearly, you know who's in charge of the thermostat? God. You know, when I complain, Brother Jeremy's right, you know what I'm doing? Well, you know what, God, I do it this way. You know, babes in Christ, sometimes we're ignorant. We don't even know we're sinning. You know, babes in Christ have that. They're unaware of the sinfulness within them and the appealing dangers of temptation that's out there. We talked about it in this dark, fallen world. We know that adults in Christ, we talked about last week, and even old disciples still battle with sin and these temptations. Even though by God's grace and staying in His Word, the Bible says we have overcome the evil one, we still battle these things. I find it very interesting that where John places this in his letter. We've been given three practical doctrinal tests that I keep on saying so far about genuine salvation. You've seen already in 1 John, all the way to where we're at. We see the sensitivity to sin, we see the obedience, and we see loving one another. Then he kind of back to some reassurance last week, you know, and a little encouragement to grow. And then right here, he warns and commands not to love the things that God hates. And if you do, it's almost like another little test he's providing here. If you do love the things that God hates, this is what it says in verse 15, then you will prove that the love of the Father is not in Him. We see this here. It's almost like a test. It's almost like some warning and some commands for us believers. But it's also another test. Are you? We see this. If you have references in your Bibles, you'll see a couple of scriptures. One, of course, it goes to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed in this world. Okay? But in mine, it has that one. But it also has 2 Timothy 4:10. And I've used this in my preaching, in some teaching, especially at school. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 reads this. And we all know 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter that he writes before he is martyred. Chapter 4 is the last verse. I mean, the last chapter, excuse me. This is what he writes about his friend Demas. For Demas in love with this present world has deserted me and gone. So the love of the Father is not in Demas. Which is shocking. Right? Guys, Demas went on missionary journeys with Apostle Paul. Demas ministered and had the privileges to minister alongside with some that we may know, but some that we do know. Titus, John Mark, Luke. I mean, this guy wasn't hanging around with Pat and Shad. Demas was alongside Paul, Titus, John Mark, and Luke. But what's it say? He went after this present world, despite these heroes of the faith that he served with. Demas loved the world and its deceptions, its desires, its lies, and its sin more than he loved God and the things of God. And we know this. It's in God's Word, but it's also proven in his life. We see this in the parable of the sower, correct? Demas may fit too. The rocky soil, what happens in the shallow rocky soil in the parable of the sower? What's the seed do? It grows a little bit, but what's the sun do? Because it's shallow and no good roots. Scorches and dies. This is Demas, right? He had a couple, evidently some good times growing. But as soon as trouble and persecution happened, the world looked better. Or, maybe this is the seed that fell in the thorny soil. So that one grew, that seed grew, but also the thorns grew with it. And what did the thorns do to that seed? Choked it out. The world and its lust and the desires was too much for Demas. What did this prove? That the love of the Father was not in him. Was not in him. If you keep on in your Bibles and if you have references, you'll see James 4:4. What's James write? You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's what he says. You adulterous people. I went to my mom's yesterday and I was trying to figure out how not to read some of the Old Testament words in the Bible when you hear adulterous people. Because that gives a very imagery of what? Old Testament Israel. Adulterous people. The prophet Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 2:20-25, for long ago I broke your yoke and burst your bonds. This is the people of Israel. God tell them. The prophet. But you said, I will not serve. Yes, on every high hill and under every green tree you bowed down like a harlot. I changed that word. Okay? So kids, ask your parents what that means on the way home. That's what it says. That's what you did, Israel. Even though I brought you out. You complained and you bowed down to everything else, you adulterous people. Man. So you can see believers in here, babes, adults, or old disciples, we are commanded and we are warned not to love the world and the things of the world. For some of y'all that just don't know, do you? Are the things of this outside world the things that God hates? Those things that you love more than you love God. For those who truly love God, you'll also hate the things He hates. Psalm 97:10. O you who love the Lord, comma, hate evil. Psalm 97:10. Let's read 1 John 2:15-17. John writes, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Father, we do love you and we thank you. Father, I second Brother Jeremy. We thank you for your word. And Father God, we thank you that we serve an awesome God. Father, we thank you for our mothers as we celebrate today. No doubt a blessing straight from you. Father, help us this morning. Teach us this morning. Open our eyes and ears to truth. Father, help us to practically live it out. And not for anything of our state, but for your glory and your glory alone. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at three things that I think John is pointing out here. First, I want to look at verse 15, where we'll see a love that God hates. Verse 15, we'll see a love that God hates. In verse 16, I think we'll see a warning against the world's evil. And we'll see verse 17, where the world is headed. So again, we'll look at a love that God hates, a warning against the world's evil, and where the world is headed. Let's look at verse 15. First, let's look at a love that God hates. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we got to get to the word world here, okay? You have to understand what John is saying, world. Okay? John is not talking about the physical created world. Why? What does God say about the physical created world in Genesis chapter 1? It is good. So John is not talking about this. John is not going to command or warn or encourage us to love something our God, our Creator, has pronounced good. Okay? He's not talking about mankind or humanity. He's not. God loves people. God sent His Son to be the propitiation, to bring about reconciliation and restoration. Why do we need all that? Because of sin. God loves His people. Romans 5:8, what's it say? But God shows His love for us, what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's not talking about humanity. Okay? And if we get to the Gospel of John, there's probably close to 8-10 ways in Greek the word world is used. So it's very important that you do your word studies. Okay, John's not talking about the physical world or mankind. What John is referring to is a fallen system of evil that is governed by Satan. Now, as much as God allows him, let's make sure we understand that. Providence, sovereignty. But this is what John's talking about. The fallen system of evil. Okay, Ephesians 2:2. Following the course of this world, Paul writes, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit is now at the work of sons of disobedience. We know who Paul is referencing there. Satan. Okay? John, 1 John 5:19. If you flip one page, what's 1 John 5:19? John writes, we know that we are from God, talking about believers, and the world, and the whole world lies in the power of who? The evil one. This is who John is referring to, this world, the evil in this world. The world refers to the same system Jesus talks about when he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you, John chapter 15, 18. This is the world, the evil that's out there, the wide path, right, that Satan wants to take you down and destroy this false, deceptive, deceiving world, fallen and broken by sin. We know this. Doesn't take long, correct, men and women? We got boys and girls in here that are old enough to can figure this out. We talk about don't love the world. Let's think of this. Let's look at the difference between the things of God and the things of the world. Let's just name a few that we're all familiar with. Let's just say it. Okay? Because what he's saying is do not love the world and the things of this world. We have to get that in context first. Okay? Let's just think about some things of God that we know of and the things of this world. Let's think about the first one. How about the attack on the family? Does this world love God's plan for marriage? Do you think this world promotes God's plan for marriage? Did not God create the institute of marriage? Yes. Should we follow His rules? Yes. Does the world tell us to? No. Guys, there's a complete distinction between the world and God. How about the promotion of sexual immorality? If you have TV, turn it off. Why? Because commercials are terrible. Man, there's Pure Flix. There's all kind of stuff you can stream nowadays. Just need some Wi-Fi. If you don't have Wi-Fi, my bad. I mean, it's awful. My daughters, heaven forbid them look at a TV and think this is what a woman's supposed to look like. It ain't about Proverbs 31, I can promise you that. It ain't about that. Premarital sex, hey, it's okay. Boys will be boys, right? Girls will be girls. Again, chapter and verse, please. But the world says it's okay. It's okay. Birth control pills, protection, you can find it at your local high school. Provide it. You starting to see the difference of what John is saying? Now you got to draw the line. If you love these things that I'm talking about more than God, there's an issue. If you don't, then John's warning us to continue to fight it and put it to death, Brother Jeremy. Amen. How about the general acceptance, or it's just normal of violence? Active shooter kills 17 people. Flip over, see what's for weather's going to be like. Like, it's just normal. That's normal. People shooting people. Normal. It's awful. This violence is normal. It's just okay. The world says, hey, it happens. It happens. How about the exalting of worldly popularity and materialism? Be popular. Be popular. The importance the world places on being popular and having a social relationship. Pat, you want to homeschool your kids, or what about their social problems? What social problems? You want that out there teaching them? You want that? You want 11 and 12 year olds hearing words that they hear at home that I never even knew when I was 11 and 12? Some of them I don't know now, and I'm 43. Worldly popularity, materialism. We have a men's Bible study at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. And there's some people we know don't come. There's some people we know that they don't even bring their kids. But you know what? Their kids ain't late for basketball practice. Their kids ain't late for Bibles or piano lessons. They ain't late for school. It's all just material. Not the things of God. We don't want to promote those things. It's just the world. Despising the decline of ethics and integrity. Just get a job. You'll see where the ethics are going in America, in this world. How many of y'all really work with people you really trust? I mean, you trust without a doubt. They'll use it and stab you in the back. Integrity? It's not a word anymore. The world, guys, remember, we're talking about the world. The difference between the things of God and this world. How about the undermining of what's right and what is wrong? We are so far from God and His Word that yesterday in the Bible study we talked about councils. The government would bring in and have councils about the deity of Christ. I want to be a part of those times. The government found it important enough to have councils to get the Bible right. You know what our government talks about now? If you want to be a boy or a girl. Right or wrong? Hey, be a boy or a girl. Facebook. Straight from Satan. I think you can be 52 genders now. Colleges, your college transcripts, same thing. Guys, John is saying, if those things you love and desire, they're not of God. You can't love the world, he says. That's why I label this a love that God hates. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. There's a distinct difference here. They're completely incompatible. They can't even coexist peacefully. They don't go together. What's Jesus say? Cannot serve two masters. Can't have two loves. Can't have two loves. Believers will not be characterized by the love of this world. They won't. John talks about the walk, the walk, the walk. Christians will not be characterized with the world, this fallen evil system. That's not what characterizes their everyday life. Unbelievers will not be characterized by the things that God loves and the message of the gospel. They're just two different things. Do you understand what John is saying? This is easy for us to understand. And he's warning us not to love the things that God hates. He is telling us these things. This is what Matthew Henry writes. The heart of a man is narrow and cannot contain both love. Cannot. You read the letter of 1 Corinthians, what is Paul writing to? He's writing a bunch of babes in Christ, right? They want one foot in the kingdom and one foot what? In the world. No. That's not what we should be pursuing. So if you are a believer in here, hey, we gotta be going from that babes in Christ to what? To adults in Christ. Why? Not for us, but to glorify God. But if the things of God never even cross your mind, but the things of this world is why you wake up in the morning, I beg you to seek God. Because do not love the world or the things of the world, because if you do, then the Father's love is not in you. They're completely different. They're completely different. Okay? John reminds us that when we become a believer, we no longer walk in this darkness. We're no longer dictated by this outside fallen system world. We don't walk in this darkness, but no, this is who he says we are. I'm gonna steal it from Peter. This is who we are. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a set apart, called out nation, a people for his own possession, that you may claim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. That's who we are. That's Christians. That's the distinction. That is who believers are, and John is reminding us, and he's commanding us, don't love out there. Believers know God, guys. They cannot love the world. They can't. Know what we're talking about, the world, the fallen system of evil that hates God. That's what we mean by the world. If I say world, remember, not creation, not humanity, and we're going to even get to some better things. There's things all around this world that are great. You know who ruins them? We do. And we'll get to that in verse 16. Remember, guys, if anyone loves the world, the things that we talk about, this evil system, the love of the Father is not in him. Like who? Who did we learn about at the introduction? Demas. Like Demas. He professed and he claimed to know God and love God. It was all a lie. He proved that the Father's love was not in him. Why? Because he went back to the present world, the things of this world. That is a do not love the things that God hates. The title of this message is The Wrong Kind of Love. The Wrong Kind of Love. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the old command, the new command. We perfected love. I told Brother Darrell that was the name of that one. Perfected love. Well, this message is the wrong kind of love. Verse 15, do not love the things that God hates. Second, let's look at a warning against the evil. Let's look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Remember, this present age. Now look, all that is in the world, guys, is not necessarily bad. What are we celebrating today? You telling me mothers are bad? No. All that is in the world is not necessarily bad. There's so much good. Even for those that are lost. The Bible says God's grace, and it finds on what? It rains on the what? Just and the unjust. That's how good God is. This world's not bad. I have children. There's times I think they're bad. Those are blessings. I have godly friends that if I needed them, they would be there. That's blessings. I bought a house right across the street from my parents. We have coffee on the front porch. That's a blessing. I have a job and a health to have. Man, there's so much good in this world. There's so much. Don't think that being a Christian robs all that stuff. Hey, I've been on both sides. I've been on both sides. Following Christ is way better than that other side before 2011, 2012 when God started dealing with me and saving my soul. That 2010 to 1978, Pat, he did a lot of things that this world calls fun. It's not even a comparison to more joy and adventures and things that I do now. Not even close. So please, as we read all these things in the world, let's not think the things of the world are bad. But these things are bad because humanity, mankind, is broken. And we are broken because of sin. And we did it. Last week we talked about Sunday school. If you in here think you wouldn't have done what Adam and Eve did, you're just proving that that's how sinful you are. We do it. All the things in this world, this government, this evil, it is because of sin, guys. That is what it is. So that's what we've got to break down. That's what we've got to understand. The human heart is totally depraved. Some people don't like to hear that. Sorry. I'm not smart. Didn't figure it out. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The human heart is totally depraved because the Bible tells us so. There's nothing good in it. It's wicked. It's sin itself from day one. Miss Whitney's going to have another baby. And when that baby gets hungry, it's not going to ask Shad and Whitney when they got time to feed it. Her, excuse me. She's not going to check with Shad and Whitney to see, hey, y'all got time to change my diaper? No, it's going to be, I want it now, now, now. I don't care what y'all are doing. It's depraved. It gets no better. It's who we are. We're morally corrupt and wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says it from the beginning. Our hearts are desperately wicked. See it. They're sick and they're wicked. And it affects everything, guys, of our being. Everything. Before God interrupts and saves us, you know what influences every decision we make? Sin and self. Sin and self. Sin and self. Sin and self. Repentance. That's what it means. Sin and self. Sin and self. Sin and self. God saves me this way. Everything that influences us before God is sin and self. There's a sign at Bowling Green School in the teacher's lounge that says, follow your heart, and I want to throw it through the window. I do. I know they mean good by it. Don't follow your heart. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Don't. Don't. Follow your heart. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Guys, look, sin's not out there. Sin's right here. Why are the things of the world bad? Why are we commanded not to love them for all the things of the world? We sin. It's not out there, guys. It's here. It's the very core of who we are. It's our nature, sin. That's why we must be born again. Sin is not out there. John MacArthur writes, sin is rebellious and ungrateful, so much so that if it was possible, it would dethrone God in favor of sinners. That'll catch you. That's what sin is. That's what sin is. Remember, verse 16, for all that is in the world. Remember, it's not all bad, wise stuff. Sin. And sin is not from God. Sin is so rebellious and ungrateful, so much so that if it was possible, it would dethrone God in favor of sinners. Holy moly. When you think of that comment that John MacArthur writes, it should take you where? Right to Romans 1, correct? What does Romans 1:21 say? For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. That's who we would be. Hide out there, God. If I was God, this is how I would do it. And that's who we are, to the core of us. Even saved people, Brother Darrell, I'm sorry, but even he said, I don't even know I do it. That's who we are. That's who we are. Sin is humanly what? Incurable. There's nothing we can do about our sin problem with our own strength. You know what we do? Charles Spurgeon said this, you know what we bring to salvation? We qualify for it. That's what. There's nothing we can do about our sin other than we qualify for it because we're sinners. That's why we beg God for salvation. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel, it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's why we beg God. We can't save it. There's nothing we can do about our problem and our nasty hearts. Beg God to give us a new one. Not the heresy. Don't you ask Jesus in your heart. You ask Jesus to give you a new heart. You beg Him for a new heart. 1 Timothy, we need a mediator. We need a Savior. We're incurable. 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul writes, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And here's the best part. Outside of the man, Jesus Christ, guys, we're all born this way. Any English teachers in here? If you write a book in here, I don't know much because I couldn't write one. But here's what I know. If I wrote a book and I repeated something more than once, I would say by English standards, it means it's pretty important, right? Let's see what it says. What's the Bible say about us? In Psalm 14, 1 through 3. Psalm 14, 1 through 3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they've all become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Pat, what do you mean? Why do you repeat? Well, that's Psalm 14. Let's read Psalm 53, 1 through 3. And let's see if that sounds familiar. Psalm 53, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they've all become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. And just to make sure we get it right, when Paul does his teaching in the book that causes trouble, as Brother Jeremy named this morning, Romans 3, 10 and 12, as it is written, Paul writes, as it is written in Psalms 14 and 53, no one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. You ever heard these seeking churches? Not true. No one seeks for God. Read Romans. No one seeks for God. They've all turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. On our own, left to our sinful flesh, we would not choose the things of God. We would not seek the things of God. That's why we beg Him. That's why we beg Him to save the people in our families that are lost. Why am I saying all this? You've got to see this in verse 16. I don't want you to think that the things of this world are all just necessarily bad. You know why they're evil and they're bad? Because sin reigns in our hearts. That's the problem. That's the problem. But that's why the gospel is called the what? The good news. The good news. This is why pastors should be very easy to take any passage and preach Jesus Christ. There should be no pastor that has to fit Jesus into a passage. You read this right here, for all that is in the world is not from the Father. Not all things are bad. We make them bad. We have a sin problem, and we can't save ourselves. God loves you so much, and to show you His love, that while you were sinners, what? Christ died for us. Man, what good news. What good news. But I think it's very important that we read this verse, for all that is in the world. Let's make sure we understand what John is talking about here. And he's warning us of these temptations. Okay? We have to be very careful of the unregenerate and unrepentant sinners too. They can only do what, guys? And sometimes we want to bash them, and I'm number one. Guess what? This is what they can do. They can only do what is sinful, because guess what? Sin entirely dictates their mind, their desires, and their actions. This fallen world. That's why we pray for them. That's why we minister. That's why we share the gospel. But we have to understand that even the morally good that the unrepentant and unregenerate do, guys, even the best they do is still sin, because guess who they're exalting when they do these things? Themselves. They don't do it for God's glory. Do it for God's glory. Now that we understand this, that we're this sin problem, and I'm not seeking anything that you guys don't know, but I thought it was important. Now that we understand the sin problem and the severe danger that sin poses, let's look at John outlines three ways the world, remember the world, the fallen system of evil, three ways that it tempts or promotes sin. Look how he says here. He says desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. Desires of the flesh, Matthew Henry writes, an appetite for indulging fleshly pleasures. All those things that excite and inflame the pleasures of the flesh. It's a disgraceful craving for what? Evil. In our flesh. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Our human hearts are broken and wicked. You know what it's even done? It's perverted normal desires. It has. The desires of the flesh, the things that we want to please ourselves. Desire of the flesh. I thought of ways to bring it about, but again, I think it's better for God and Scripture to interpret Scripture. Galatians says this. Here's the works of the flesh. You ready? The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. Now, we all fit on that list somewhere. But those don't characterize our life. That's not our everyday longing. If your desires are those things for the flesh, like that's what drives and motivates you, then the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, Paul says, I warned you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. If this describes you, the works of the flesh, if only please you, you wake up in the morning only to give the desires of yourself, pray about that. And that's how the world tempts us. You deserve it. Just watch some commercials. Read some newspapers. The desires of the flesh. Right? There's some ways that the world tempts us. Remember, number two is a warning against the world's evil. The desires of the flesh. Those are things God hates. Those are things God hates. Two, the desires of the eyes. Now the eyes are a good thing, guys. There's a lot of things that I think I could take in this life. Being blind is probably not one of them. That's a gift that I am thankful for, and I need to be way more thankful for that in my prayers of my eyesight. Psalm 19:1 tells us what? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Like, we get to see that. But you know what sin has done with our eyesight? It's perverted it. We see, but there are also windows of temptation and sin. They're windows of temptation and sin. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? We've perverted. Because what we see, guys, goes right in here. And then it goes to our heart, becomes a desire, and then guess what? Action. You know what's sad? The action doesn't make it a sin. The thought does. Where do we get it from sometimes? Right here. Like people in a good way, because I'm pretty sarcastic and I like to mess with people. People in a good way laugh because of school dances, and I don't want my two daughters going to dances. You want to know why? Is the music that bad? Yeah, I guess it is. Is it all that bad? Probably not. You may disagree with me, but here's why I don't. What my daughter sees on that dance floor and hears from that music and watching two individuals do whatever that claim to be doing that's not dancing, guess what they're seeing? That. Guess what they're thinking? Not going home doing a Bible study. That's what is going, not in my daughter's eyes. No. They can hate me until they move out. No. TV, Michael Sam gets drafted. That's gum ESPN. Kisses his boyfriend. My daughter's this tall. Hey, Daddy, why'd that boy kiss? I had to turn my TV. Really? Even the NFL draft has ruined homosexuality. What she sees, and I explain to her. Really? Watching the dinner? That's the last place you think you see that. That's what we see. It's the world tempts us. These eyes that we have. Man, we gotta be careful. What's these eyes do? They leave us what? Unsatisfied? See things that we want? Like God hasn't done enough, right? Remember, our sin problem is what? Incurable. He took care of that for us. But we want more. Idolatry. Brother Jimmy said it last week in Sunday school. John Calvin says what? What are we? Just idol factories. We're idol factories. Who we are. Eyes. Try the word. World tempts us. Third, the pride of life. To boast or to be arrogant. John Calvin says blind love of self. This is arguably the number one motivation for what? All sin. Pride. We seek to elevate self over everything and everyone else. The pride of life. Why are we unsatisfied? We deserve more. Why do we want more? Because we want more. We deserve it. This is who we are. The pride of life. Pride provokes sinners to exalt themselves and seek fulfillment in things that glorify the creature rather than the Creator. You know where I'm going. The pride provokes sinners to exalt themselves and seek fulfillment in the things that glorify the creature, the flesh, the eyes, than the Creator. Where are you going, Brother Pat? Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. It's what the world tells us. It's okay, please yourself. Worship the creation. Worship the creatures. Worship yourself. More than the Creator. You ever know what's in the... You know what's the middle letter in the word pride? I. You want to be the middle of everything. It's all about you. Guys, I still struggle with pride bad. If you have a prayer journal, pray for Patrick King and his pride. I do. I have a prideful problem. These are the ways this world... This is what John is warning. Us believers. He's warning us. And here it is. Here's the temptations. Here's how this world is going to provoke these things. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. You know what's really funny about this? John just outlined three ways that the world provokes or tempts us with sin. Correct? Fleshly desires. Eyes and pride. How did Satan tempt Jesus in the desert? Jesus, you're hungry. Flesh. Turn that rock into bread. See what Satan did? What was next? He took him and showed him the world. Bow down to me, I give it to you. Eyes. How about pride? Man, if you're really Jesus, then jump off here. If you're really the Son of God, then jump off here and God will save you. Pride. Pride. We have to be on guard. Mortify sin. He warns us against this world's evil. This fallen system of evil run by the prince of the power of the air, Satan. Warns us of it. He warns us of it. Or, if you're like Demas, and you choose these things, and these things are more desirable, then guys, you're just proving that the love of the Father is not in you. That's scary. That's the wrong side to be on. John Calvin says this, the sum of the whole is that as soon as the world presents itself, our lust or desires, when our hearts corrupt, are captivated by it. We're captivated by the lust and desires of the world. So that various lusts, all which are adverse to God, bear rule in us. It's who we are. But to be careful of that. But remember what the things of the flesh are, right? In Galatians 19:21, they're evident, right? But what about the things of God? See, at the end of verse 16, it says, the desires, the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. But what's from the Father? Well, let's finish Galatians 5. Let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do not love the world. You see the difference? You see the difference of the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit? The things of God and the things of this world? Christians, I challenge you, don't love the things God hates. Even if you're a babe in Christ, grow in Christ's righteousness. Grow in Christ's likeness. Fill your minds with good things. Paul writes, well, all those things that are good, that are pure, concentrate on those things. It's nasty out there. That's the importance of a discipleship, of a biblical church, of people that love the Lord. Man, it's a warning out there. It's out there waiting for you. It's like a roaring lion. A roaring lion. You have to be careful out there. Do not love the world. Okay? A love that God hates, verse 15. A warning against the world's evil, verse 16. Last, let's look where the world is headed, verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I like verse phrases. I didn't like them in high school. Okay? I really don't like them in papers now. I just like them when I'm studying God's Word. This is a present tense verb. Okay? Verse 17. And the world is passing away. Is passing away. Present tense verb. You know what John's indicating? That this world, this evil, this fallen, broken, it's already on the road and path to destruction. It's on its way. It's on its way. We already know that, right? We went over the new commandment. The true light is already shining. We know for Christians one day the end is glorification. But we also know that the light is already shining. Christ came. He lives in His people. But for the same way, the world, it's going down, guys. It's already on its way to total destruction. It's only going to grow worse, guys, in the coming years. It's only going to get worse. This world and its system, it's going to get worse before it gets better. In fact, I don't know if it's ever gotten better. It's just going to get worse and worse as long as this fallen world continues. It's passing away. It's passing away until the Lord returns. This world's on its way. Again, the wide path. Remember, Jesus preaches the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount. He closes it with the wide path and the narrow path. Now, did He say the wide path said, hey, come this way, destination, hell and total destruction? Is that what the wide path says? Neither does this world. Live it up. Chase your desires of the flesh. Follow your heart. See things that you want to see. Get them. Pride, you deserve it. Live it up. God created you in His image. Do what you want to do. Be your own God. It's exactly what's going on. It's what's going on. But He closes this, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This is a beautiful statement. This is, and just checking His gospel, watching this, John closes, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Of course, this is what John writes in his apostle. Okay? Jesus answered them, John 6:29, if you're taking that. Jesus answered them, watch this, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who sent. He has sent. That's awesome. That's the work of God, which means the will of God in John. That's the will of God. And Brother Jeremy told us this morning, it will be accomplished. That's awesome. That's the will of God, guys. How about John 6:40, same chapter? For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. The will of God, the will of God, is that people believe the gospel message, repent of their sins, and cling to the cross of Christ for their only hope. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Do not love the things of this world. Do not love this world. Or the desires of it. Of this broken, evil, fallen system. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. God told Paul to stay. Where? Y'all remember when He told him to stay in Corinth? Why? Because there's many here that I'm going to save through you. That's the will of God. To save His people. That's why when we read verse 16, I made it such a bit for all that it is in the world. It don't sound bad. There's people out there, guys, that you might be the means that God uses to save them. You won't save them, but you're the means. That's the will of God. To save His people. And it's going to happen. And the fact that He calls us to do His ministry, to work under Him for the advancement of His kingdom, if that doesn't fire you up, then what does? The Creator, the One that said, let there be light, chose you out of darkness into light to long for that relationship with you and to use you to advance His kingdom. And you like your job? Man, that's beautiful. And these people, these believers that God has called, they'll abide forever. They'll live forever. The world's destruction, we're not concerned about that. Amen? We're concerned where they're going, but we have no fear in the world's destruction. Why? Because He has overcome the world. You think we fear the Lord's return? I'm willing to bet there's people in this room right now that pray for that daily. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. No, we know where we're going. We long for that. We long for that. Not the things of the flesh. Not the things of this world. We long for the things of God. And we long to see Jesus. On your way home today, just think to yourself, why do you want to go to heaven? Do you long to see Jesus? You long to see Jesus. I'm willing to bet every mother and grandmother in here longs for her family to see Jesus. Guys, Christians, this morning we're commanded not to love this world or the things of this world. But even like last week, we're to persevere. We're to grow in spiritual growth or in our sanctification. If you're a Christian in here, you've been given everything you need to grow, the Holy Spirit. Put away the desires of the flesh. One example that Brother Jimmy says all the time in here, that you crucify your flesh. You think I like getting up early on Saturday mornings? You think that's what I like to do? No. I get up every morning early all the time. But I want to crucify that, and every time I sit with those men, what a blessing they are to my life. Brother Pat just gave me a handshake yesterday. I didn't have to hug him. But at the end, we hugged. It's a blessing to meet with those guys. We crucify flesh. If we truly are saved and love God, then we love the things of God. Know what we should do? Forget what lies behind and strain forward. We should press toward the goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Believers, that's what we're called to do. What a beautiful section of this new commandment to love. And then this general reassurance of this, where are you? You're a babe, you're an adult, or you're an old disciple? And keep striving. And then He gives us this warning and command for believers. Don't love the things of this world. Put it to death. He warns us about all this sin and this temptation. But abide in Him. In a biblical church. And brothers and sisters that will hold you accountable. Why? Because it always goes back. You know why? Because they love you. They love you. I'd much rather the men at Grace Heritage Baptist know that I love them and their soul more than I love if they want to talk to me or not. If I say something that I don't think is bad, but maybe upsets them.
It doesn't matter. I'm more concerned about their soul and their spiritual growth than I am if they think I'm some great guy. The Lord's prepared me that way. I'm a coach. And I don't care if mamas and daddies like me. I'm going to make their young boys into men. And that's just the way it's going to be. But I love people, not because I'm some good guy. And she'll tell you that. It's because God loved me. He's changed me. He's gave me a new life. He's gave me a new heart. And I want to please Him. If you do this, you will exhibit a love that God loves. And you will also exhibit, you will hate the things that God hates. Remember, we started this with who? Demas. How about Paul? Philippians 3, verse 3 through 11. For we are the circumcision who work by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, Paul says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I had, so Paul just says, if anybody wants to put confidence in the flesh that you can earn heaven, that you can earn God's favor, Paul is basically saying, it's me. And all of you play way second fiddle. Listen to how Paul finishes of the things of this world and the flesh and the things he sees and his pride and all these temptations. Listen to what he says about it. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not to have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Men and women, I challenge you not to be demons. If you're lost in here like Demas, the Bible tells us, seek, pray to God. Why not? If you are saved in here this morning, hear these words and these warnings against what's out there. It's hostile out there. It's a complete difference. And it's not going to peacefully coexist. And Paul says, whatever this world has to offer, I had it, and I had it in abundance. And he says, I count it as rubbish. Y'all know what rubbish is? He says, I consider it as garbage. Why? Just to know Christ. Just to know Christ. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No way a mother wants a better message to her children. Know Christ. Pastor John is awesome. The Apostle John and the love he has for those that God put over him. This is amazing, this letter. Guys, don't love the thing God hates. And know that the world, there's evils out there and they're trying to get you. And know where the world's headed. Stay on guard. Grow. Abide in Him and His Word. But also I warn you that if you like the things of this world and the things that you know God hates more than you like God, there's a warning there. There's a warning there. We love you. Praying for you guys. Again, mothers, I know this isn't typically a Mother's Day sermon. I thank you for being here this morning. Guys, we're praying for you. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know. to my mom and to my wife, thank you. Thank you. To all you mothers out here. And some of you, I got a friend back there, and some moms are moms. They might not have the same last name, but some women in here, you play a big role in other people's lives. And remember, if you do it for the least of these, you're doing it for me. I love moms. God is gifting them to nurture and care. What a blessing we have with you guys. We thank you and we love you. Father God, we thank you for this message. Father, I pray that you take my error, Father, and remove it, Father God. And as we learn this morning from Brother Jeremy's teaching, Father God, that Father, through your word and Brother Jeremy's teaching, and we're reminded, Father, your word does not come back void. Father, I rest in that because I am a fallen, forgiven sinner. Father, and I fail daily, and I fail and make mistakes. But I serve a God that does not fail. So, Father God, I pray that this message goes forth, Father God. Father, by your glory and by your grace, Father God, that it changes lives, Father. It helps us take the Word of God and put it into play. Put it into action. Father, I thank you for the men and women that are here this morning that love you. Father, I pray for those, Father, that are just dealing with tough things right now. Father, make yourself mighty to them. Father, give them desires and passions to follow you, Father God. To keep growing closer and closer to you. Father, I pray for those that don't know you this morning, Father God, that you'll intervene and interrupt their lives and save them. That you will draw them to yourself. Father, I pray for Brother Jimmy and his family as they're sick. Father, that you'll heal bodies. Father, you'll give them peace, comfort. I pray for his family and I pray for his parents as they walk through what they're walking through with this dreaded disease. Father, I pray for Heidi's mother, Miss Kathy, as she's upcoming surgery. Heart surgery, I pray that you'll ease our fears and guide the doctors and nurses' hands. Father, I pray for all of us here. Pray for those that have lost ones in our family. Father God, that whether you use us or any means necessary, Father God, that bring people to share the gospel. And Father, you see it to completion. Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for their care and their love. Father, we thank you that we can call them and without a doubt they're there. And whatever they can do, they'll do it. Father, I'm so thankful that in a small way I can see the love you have for your children. For the way my mom and my wife love their children. What a blessing. But Father God, most of all, we exalt you this morning. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for reconciliation and restoration between this fallen, broken, sinful humanity. Father, we thank you for providing that mediator, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in His name. Amen.